From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. Take heed to yourselves and to the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years that I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those who entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that does not fade away.
Thank you, Brian. As most of you know, you look back through history, both secular and sacred, leadership plays a huge role in the success of human enterprises. How many countries can we look at through history, for example, that have thrived, they've prospered, they have become large and powerful because of the skill and the knowledge and the charisma of their leaders? By the same token, how many nations can we look at through history have gone down the path of destruction because of the poor leadership they had? And if you look at the history of God's people in the Bible, you see the same phenomena at work. In the Old Testament, the priests and the prophets were designated by God as those who would lead their people. More often than not, these men proved not up to the task. And they led God's people, or failed to lead God's people in the way that they should, and as a result, the people went astray and went down. In the New Testament, we see reference made again and again to the work of men called elders, which is what our subject is about today, and others called preachers or evangelists, who likewise were tasked with the role of some kind of leadership of God's people. And to the extent that they did their work well, God's people generally prospered. And to the extent they did not do their work as God wanted them to, God's people went astray. Leadership is huge in the work of God's people even today. And so what we're going to do, both this week and next week, is spend a couple of lessons talking about some leadership roles in God's church. Today we're going to be talking about those men that the New Testament more commonly refers to as elders, and then next week we'll turn our attention to preachers or evangelists and the work they are to do. What we're going to do this morning, though, is look at the elders and the work that they do, often described as shepherds or shepherding the flock. We're going to look at the need for these men, the identity of these men, the work that they do, and the character of those who would serve in this capacity. Now, oftentimes, whole series of lessons are devoted to all these different things that I've laid out here. I've chosen to boil it down to one lesson to try to give us a good high-level overview of everything we need to know about elders and who they are and the work that they do. So let's start out this morning by talking about the need for shepherds. The very word shepherd that is applied to these men would suggest something about the character, the nature of the people that they are leading. A shepherd assumes the presence of sheep, right? And that is, in fact, the kind of language that we find over and over again in both Old and New Testaments to describe God's people, that they are, in fact, sheep. Now, just let's pause for just a moment and think about the nature of sheep. What kind of animals are sheep? What characteristics do they possess? We think of sheep as being rather gentle and submissive. They are herd animals, meaning they tend to flock together. Unlike predatory animals who tend to roam solo, sheep tend to bunch together. They enjoy being together. There's safety in numbers. Sheep are easily lost. And once lost, they have a very difficult time finding their way home. You've heard stories of dogs or cats that get separated from their owners, in some cases for many miles apart. And yet somehow those animals tend to find their way back home. You never read stories of sheep doing that. Once they're lost, they're just lost, and they're probably doomed. Sheep tend to be afraid of the unknown. They like to stick around that which is familiar. Sheep are not necessarily stupid, but they are slow learners. Oftentimes, it takes quite a bit of repetition to get a sheep to recognize where it needs to go and what it needs to do. In other words, sheep are creatures who need constant guidance. They need shepherds. Now, that's just the way God made them. That's in the nature or the character of who sheep are. And the fact that God, again, in both Old and New Testaments, again and again, refers to his people as sheep, in fact, all human beings as sheep, suggests there's something about us humans that are very similar to that of sheep. We tend to run in herds. We like to group together with those that think like we do or look like we do. We are easily misled and lost. And once we are lost, it's very difficult for us to find our way back home again. We need encouragement and guidance and teaching and training again and again and again. And that's why God prefers to refer to us as sheep. It's not because we're stupid. It's not because we lack intelligence. It's because there are just certain things about human beings that cause us to need the kind of leadership that shepherds can provide. We are capable of great things in life. There's no doubt about that. But we need help in order to accomplish that. And it is the shepherds, then, who will provide that kind of leadership. So if you'll recall the passages that were read at the outset in Acts chapter 20 and 1 Peter 5, we have references to God's people referred to as the flock or the flock of God. We are his sheep, and that's why we need shepherds to lead us. And that brings us then to the identity of these shepherds. Who are these men? Now, what I'd like to do, and I've tried to simplify this as much as possible in this chart that I have before you now in comparing these passages in Acts 20 and 1 Peter. I recognize there are other passages that we could pull in here, but I'm trying to keep it simple. But I like these two passages because both of them use three words that describe these men and who they are. And the language that is used here is very helpful to us in identifying them. Now, you'll notice both in the bulletin and here on the chart, on the overhead, I have highlighted the three words found in both passages. In Acts 20, in verse 17, we're told that Paul called for the elders of the church in Ephesus. And then when they arrive and he begins talking to them, in verse 28, he speaks of the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So these elders are overseers. And then concerning that flock, he said, you are to shepherd the church of God. These elders or overseers are to shepherd the church of God. And then the same three words are found in 1 Peter chapter 5. He addresses it to, in verse 1, the elders who are among you. They are to shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers. Now, it's typical at this point for someone going through all of this to plunge into the Greek language and pull out all these Greek words and give you a lesson in Greek as to what all these words are translated from and their meanings and so forth. I'm not going to do that. What I am going to do, though, to try to capture the sense of what is in the original language is to slightly vary the translation here to capture what these three words refer to. What we're looking at here now are perfectly legitimate alternatives to the language that we just saw. In Acts 20, we could read this in verse 17, Paul called for the presbyters of the church at Ephesus. And then in verse 28, he speaks of the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you bishops, coming from the word episkopos. And then also in that verse, they are to pastor or feed the church of God. And then the same words, of course, would apply in 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, the only thing I'm trying to draw out here is the fact that you've got three different words describing the same group of men. These are not different, unique offices from one another. You've got one group of men that can be called alternatively elders, presbyters, bishops, pastors, shepherds, overseers. All of these words, whichever word you prefer to use, all of them are describing the one and the same office. Now, of course, you instantly recognize what the problem is here. When you look out around us today at what passes as Christianity, a great many denominational bodies have taken upon themselves to appropriate these words that are used here in these passages, but then they create their own artificial distinctions between these words. And so instead of a single group of men to whom all of these words apply, they create all of these offices, a hierarchy, if you will. And so you've got bishops who rule over presbyters, and presbyters rule over the pastors, and so forth and so on. People have just created that out of whole cloth. They didn't get it out of the Bible. No, they got the words out of the Bible, but then they started creating these artificial distinctions that the Bible knows nothing about. All I'm trying to illustrate here is that if you just stick with what the Bible says, there's one group of men who are given the task of shepherding God's flock. Now, those men can wear a variety of labels depending on how you want to approach or analyze the kind of work that they are doing, but it's all one and the same office. And I might mention also, while we're on this, did you notice in Acts 20 and verse 28 that these presbyters, elders, overseers, bishops, they are to pastor, shepherd, feed the church of God? That verb there, to pastor or to feed or to shepherd, is actually found a number of times in the New Testament. It's usually translated shepherd or feed. The noun version of that same word is likewise found at least a couple of dozen of times in the New Testament, and it is always everywhere translated shepherd, with one exception. If you'll just glance at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, where Paul says that he has given us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for building up the body of Christ, the edifying of the body. That word pastor there is the same word that everywhere else is translated shepherd. It's referring to this group of men. All I'm trying to stress to you is that the word that is commonly used today to describe preachers, which is pastor, is being applied incorrectly. The preacher is not the pastor. And to take that word that is used in this fashion here and apply it to preachers or evangelists is an abuse of the language. That is not the way the Bible describes preachers. So that's just addressing the identity of these people. A few other details we want to mention very quickly is that these shepherds are men. Invariably, as they are described in the New Testament, they are always operating in the plural. You'll never find a single shepherd over the flock. And again, we could pursue this in greater detail, but we're not going to do so here. And clearly the point here is to avoid a Diotrephes-type character from assuming a position of leadership that it just becomes his own little personal kingdom. When you've got a plurality of men having to work together and work in consensus to lead God's people, it tends to dampen down the tendency toward one person becoming too powerful. And then finally, another thing we want to notice, the language in both of these passages, in Acts 20 and 1 Peter 5, the text says that they are to shepherd the flock of God which is among you. And this defines the limits or the boundaries of their oversight. It is not the place of these shepherds to reach outside of their local congregation and try to exert some kind of influence or rule or leadership in other congregations. And certainly not among all of God's people throughout the whole world. Their leadership is reserved for the flock of God which is among you in the local congregation. So as quickly as possible, we've dealt now with the identity of these men who are to shepherd God's people. And that brings us then to the work of shepherds. And let's notice several things, in limiting ourselves to these two passages in 1 Peter and in Acts 20. Clearly, by definition, the work of a shepherd is to feed the flock. There is nourishing that has to take place. There is teaching, counseling, encouraging, and of course this points to the Word as the source of that feeding, does it not? Also, in Acts chapter 20, Paul spoke of the fact that savage wolves will come in among you. So it is the job of shepherds, just as a real shepherd would, to protect the flock from these wolves, from any kind of danger that would threaten them. Notice something else in 1 Peter 5. It's interesting that Peter speaks of elders being examples to the flock. That is, these shepherds should be the kind of men who people can look to and say, that's the kind of person that I want to be, or that's the kind of person I want my children to be. And so when people look at these shepherds and the work that they are doing, they see in them the kind of examples that they ought to be. And finally, that brings us then to one other thing we want to consider, is that they are not to be lords over those entrusted to you. Lord, an absolute monarch, a ruler whose word is not to be defied. And Peter says, that's not who these men are. They're not little gods. They do not take the place of Jesus Christ, and then whatever they say, well, that's just the way it is. No, that's not the manner of the leadership or the feeding or the protection that they are providing to God's people. That brings us then to the character of these men. What kind of men serve in this role as shepherds of God's people? And we'll not take the time to read these passages in 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 8, and Titus 1, verses 5 through 9. Because these passages give a detailed list of the kind of personal qualities or characteristics that these men have in their lives. We can summarize, though, three categories of qualifications that describe these men. Number one, they are men of strong faith. They are men who know the Word. They are familiar with the truth that God would have all men to know, and they have lived that truth in their lives. There are men that you can go to that have a pretty good grasp on how God's truth is to apply to life and its meaning in every realm of life. Second, they are men of sterling character. They know how to deal with people. They know how to deal with temptation. They've gone through life. They've experienced the good times and the bad, including the hard edges, and they've learned how to deal with these things. Life can be brutal sometimes, and these men recognize that, and they've had to deal with it themselves, and they have done so successfully. And as a result, people can look to them and admire the character that they have as such. And then the third category of these qualifications is that they have certain life experiences. When you look at their home life, for example, when you look at their careers, when you look at their role in the community, their reputation among people, even on the outside, they are men who are respected. They are looked up to. These are people whose counsel and whose guidance and whose opinions we can respect, because again, they've lived life and they have done so successfully. Notice one other thing, though, that we want to consider, and that is that they do this work not by compulsion, but willingly, or Peter says, eagerly. A man should never be placed in the office of a shepherd of God's people against his will. He's not really all that excited about it, but I guess we need elders, so okay, I'll agree. That doesn't work. If he is not doing this willingly or eagerly because he sees a need for this work, and I believe I can do this job, and I want to serve God's people in this way, that's the kind of person that we should be looking for to serve as elders or shepherds. Okay, that leads us then to the next question that we need to consider, and that is, where do we get men like that? Is there some kind of a elder training school that we can send men to train them how to be good elders, can teach them enough Bible, and develop all the PR skills and so forth that are necessary to do this work as an elder or a shepherd? Where do we get these men? Well, I'll give you a clue. There's not an elder training school you can send them to, and if there was, it probably would not be very effective. But let's stick now to the context in 1 Peter, and I think we'll find out where these men come from. Now look again at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. Peter says, "When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." The chief shepherd. Now, of course, who's that referring to? That would be Jesus. In John chapter 10, Jesus referred to himself as the great shepherd, the good shepherd. He is the perfect model of what a shepherd ought to be, and we recognize that, do we not? But look also earlier in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter writes, "You were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Now that's fascinating, because here Peter uses two of those three words, and he is applying it to Jesus. He is the shepherd and the overseer, the bishop of our souls. Now, connect the dots here and see what this is telling us. Jesus is the perfect model of what an elder, an overseer, a shepherd ought to be. He is a model of hard work, of unselfish service, of personal sacrifice, and all of this he is doing in behalf of others. If you know anything at all about the story of Jesus, the life that he lived, the kind of work that he did, what was in it for him? How did it benefit him? How did it enrich him? Well, you say it didn't. I mean, everything he did was in behalf of somebody else. He willingly gave of himself in order to serve and benefit and enrich other people. Bingo. Guys, that's what the work of an elder is all about. It is not his job to feather his nest. It's not his job to use his position to promote himself in some way. The work of an elder, of a shepherd, is, like the chief shepherd, to constantly sacrifice and serve and work hard in behalf of other people. And you're probably not going to get anything for your trouble. And that's not a complaint. It's just a reality. Do the sheep out here in the flock, when the shepherd stays all night with them, protecting them and guiding them to the green pastures and so forth, and the water and all the other things that he does for the flock, do the sheep ever turn around and somehow, thank you for what he's done? Of course not. They, in most cases, don't really appreciate what he's done. They're just glad that it's there. And that's the way it is with the work of these men who serve as shepherds of God's flock. They work, they sacrifice, they toil, they spend countless hours that a lot of people don't see. They know nothing about the nature of the work that they're doing. But they don't complain, they freely do it. And they continue to do it. Because that's what the chief shepherd did. You see, the shepherds of God's flock are the kind of men who, in a very practical way, hold things together, help people get to heaven, help deal with all the crises and the problems and the disappointments and the questions and the doubts and so forth that they have to deal with in this life. In fact, if elders do their job well, most of the people who are working under them won't even notice the work that the elders are doing. You know why? Because if the elders did their job well, all the attention of the sheep is focused on the chief shepherd. That's the shepherd that I want to follow. That is the one I need to build my life around. And if elders in a local congregation are doing their job well, they're working with a lot of people who are so devoted to Jesus Christ and serving him and building their lives on him that the elders can kind of sit back and say, job well done. We're doing our job. Because that's where the attention ought to be focused. Now, as I said, next week we're going to turn our attention to what the New Testament has to say about preachers, evangelists. But for now, I would like for all of us to consider this important question. What is our relationship with the chief shepherd? What do we think of the sacrifice that he made for us? Is it important to us? Is our appreciation for what he did reflected in the lives that we live, in the attitudes that we have toward life and toward those round about us? If there's anything that we can do for you this morning to help you develop that closer relationship to Jesus Christ and what he has done for us, then won't you come forward and express your need as we stand and sing the invitation song?